Didn't Rapoport start in Matthew to bring you two messages, one last Sunday and this one to conclude today, based on the theme, how should we then live? Please let's stand for the reading of that one verse, and Joel is going to read in English. It's just Psalm 11, verse 3, the same we read last week.
If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
If the foundations are destroyed, what could the righteous do? Our Bible verse in the bulletin today is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked ways in me, and guide me by the way everlasting. May you pray that prayer every day. Search me, O God. He said, my thoughts are not your thought, my ways are not your ways. And you and I need daily to learn about God's thoughts and God's way. And they are not learned through the TV or the secular culture, but through the Word of God. May the Lord bless your heart. May you be seated. Now, recently we know that the Supreme Court, these elite that should be explaining the laws, not making laws, because making laws is the function of the Congress and not of the Supreme Court. They passed the law that defies the majority of the people of this land, and they did indeed legalize homosexuality. Years ago, Martin Luther King said, the church is not the master of the state or the servant of the state. The church is the conscience of the state. And it's a sad day in our land when the church gives up her right of being the conscience of the state. The Lord Jesus states in Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And light and salt have influence in the environment where they are. If there's light, there's no darkness. If there's salt, there is flavor. There is preservation. There is no rottenness. So the Bible tells us that as light and salt, we are not only to separate ourselves from immorality, but to reprove it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 states, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. This is our mandate. The Lord didn't tell us to be the sugar of the earth, but to be the salt of the earth. For us to articulate the Christian worldview, we need to know the Bible and we need to know God's will. When we interact with the homosexual community, we need to be able to articulate Bible truth in three main points. And the first area we need to understand is the area of birth. And often we hear from the homosexual community the statement, I was born this way. First of all, there's no such thing as gay genes. I've read the studies, one of them by Mr. LaVey years ago, where he tries to establish a causation, a genetic causation, but he gets nowhere with that. And most of those studies are paid for by the homosexual lobby. None of those studies address the issue of normality or morality that would interest us so much. First of all, in this discussion of birth, we need to understand that our problem is indeed the birth problem. Psalm 51 verse 1, it states, I was brought forth in iniquity. Yes, it's a birth problem and it's called sin in your heart. Christianity affirms the fallen nature of man, not to justify sin, but to call man to seek a savior. I have heard the same argument from the alcoholic population. I was born this way. It's genetic. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. But that's a lie, and the people who believe that are baiting them. Not just the hook, but even the sinker too. It's a lie. But in order to face your problem, you need to come to the truth and recognize it's my sin. It's not my genes, my dad, my mother, it's me. And I need to repent from it. But man will use any excuse to pursue their desires of a fallen nature. When the Lord created Adam and Eve, he informed Adam that his sin would have a negative impact, not just spiritual, but also physically and biologically. The sin nature manifests itself from birth. The so-called homosexual orientation or attraction is again one more result of a fallen nature. As I told you, for many years working with people on the streets and people with a problem of homosexuality, all of those I talked to, I cannot think about one who had not reported being physically abused as a child, sexually molested as a child, either by parents, friends, mothers, boyfriends, people of authority that they esteemed. In the early stage of life, when a child is molested and abused, the personal identity of this person is shaken to the core. Now, as the identity is destroyed, it comes a lack of self-respect for your body. Having the inclination does not make it normal, much less God-ordained. Using the previous example of being alcoholic, as somebody said, by birth, does not constitute that alcoholism is a normal lifestyle. The homosexual lobby says, but it feels natural. Yes, it does. It feels as natural as envy and jealousy and pride and selfishness. You did not have to go to school to learn any of that stuff. It's part of your fallen nature. Sinful inclinations are the result of a fallen nature. All these inclinations, Jesus says, are a problem of the heart, of a rebellious heart. According to Romans chapter 1, Paul explains it all, that those turn their backs on the knowledge of God were given up to a perverse lifestyle. Jesus says it is a problem with your fallen nature. Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, the Lord Jesus says, but all that comes out of your mouth and out of your being, it'll be lies, deceit, adultery, and immorality comes from within, from your heart, from your fallen nature. Yes, it feels so natural because it's your fallen nature. But there is another topic we need to address as we interact with the homosexual community, is the topic of significance. Significance. There are plenty, we are told by the homosexual lobby, there are plenty of respectable people among gays, politicians, bankers, lawyers, doctors, And their conclusion is, since they are successful and important people, so their behavior is not important. Their sexual behavior is not important. But for a Christian, all your life matters to God. Not just the life of the spirit. What you do with your body matters to the Lord. First of all, when God created human beings, He created not two males or two females. You know that well, otherwise you would not be here today. First of all, you and I read in the Bible that when God created the first human beings, He made a male and a female, and the Lord says it is good. And as far as I know, God did not change His opinion yet about this. It is good. And He blessed that couple, male and female. That union in the New Testament has been even elevated furthermore. When in the book of Ephesians, the Lord Jesus Christ is compared to the bridegroom and the church to the bride. And the Apostle Paul says, in all the process of creation of a male and a female, is to illustrate the beautiful relationship between Christ, the bridegroom, and His wife, or His bride, the church. The union of a male and a female is the only union that God recognized and the only union that He blessed or He'll ever bless. But secondly, sodomy destroys monogamy and promotes promiscuity. It's because of promiscuity in the homosexual relationships that now we hear about open marriage. When the homosexual marriage was first legalized in the Netherlands, a study concluded that gay married men had an average of 8 sexual partners per year with full knowledge of their spouse. And this abomination called open marriage comes out of the homosexual community. Marriage, this is not marriage. This is living like the irrational animals in the fields. Now, the Bible teaches us that all sexual sin, including homosexuality, carries unique consequences. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul states, flee porneia, which includes all kind of fornication, immorality, homosexuality, and he says, every other sin that a man commits is outside of the body, but the immoral man sins against his body. Fourthly, for the Christian, sexual sin is not a personal matter of choice. It is one of the reasons the apostles excommunicated people who did not repent from sexual sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is an example. And finally, remember and keep in mind that the good deeds of a person do not legitimize his or her immoral behavior. Just because so-and-so is a doctor, a lawyer, and a banker, does that legitimize what's wrong? No way. No way. Just an example. Remember that prostitute called Rahab? She did a good deed. She saved the spies. Oh, but she was not made part of the people of God to pursue prostitution. Prostitution didn't become legal in Israel because Rahab did a good deed. No. That's right. Praise God. She repented and placed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the homosexual lobby asks for tolerance, what they're asking for is for acceptance. I have to tolerate the alcoholic and the drug addict, but I do not have to accept their lifestyle or their behaviors. The same with the homosexual. But the homosexual lobby has now forced laws under hate crimes in order to force what is their real goal, conformity. In Sweden, 2005, a preacher went to jail for preaching a sermon in church like the one I'm preaching here today. This is what they want. This is their ultimate goal. It's to force conformity, and they're using the so-called eight laws to do that. And this way, they relabel the conversation, and what you and I call conviction, they label as intolerance. Just a couple of examples right here in the United States. Just to give you a couple of examples right in our backyard, when Focus of the Family, on the Family, years ago, made a stand against homosexual marriage. They found that parts of dead animals thrown near their ministry's door. They had some windows broken. They had staff from Focus on the Family in public places like restaurants being publicly insulted by people from the gay community. In the city of San Francisco, a pastor who found out that the organist was homosexual confronted the organist, who refused to repent. The pastor put him out of communion. That pastor had a fire bomb in his house. This is in San Francisco. We're not talking abroad. The Netherlands, Sweden. We're talking the United States. What happens there will soon be in a theater near you here. We have no phobias. Phobia is an irrational fear. I don't have an irrational fear of anybody who's a gay or a lesbian. What we don't agree is with their lifestyle. It's out of a fallen nature. And we do have a message. Come to Christ, and Christ will give you forgiveness in the new lifestyle. In conclusion, I want to remind you that God's will for us is that we abstain from sexual immorality. First Thessalonians, you read that in chapter 4, the desire of God is your sanctification. Flee sexual immorality. That's God's will for your life. Not only this church will, it's God's will for your life. Paul states that those who practice sexual immorality do not know God. You have a problem? You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with Paul in the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. And please, somebody read in English for me.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So he says, this was what some of you were before in that church, but praise God, you've been washed and sanctified and justified, and that you have had a heart change. And your fallen nature was conquered through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, and still is the same. No matter what sin you're struggling with, is that pornography, adultery, homosexuality, you turn to Jesus, and the power of the cross will change you. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The homosexual lobby distinguished between homosexual orientation and practice, between desires and deeds, but the Bible makes no such distinction. Jesus taught us that the desire is the one that leads to the deed. He says you need to repent from your desire before it becomes a deed. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if you looked upon a woman in your heart and you did covet her, you're already guilty before God of adultery. So repent as the desire assails your soul. Repent and turn to the cross before it turns into deed. Grace and truth are married together. John 1:14, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that saves is the grace that sanctifies, and it cannot be separated. God will not save anybody who he does not sanctify, and vice versa. You remember that adulterous woman that was before the Lord Jesus, to whom Jesus says, I condemn you not. receive forgiveness and salvation. But right away the Lord Jesus told her, but now go and sin no more. Salvation and sanctification are the work of the same Savior. And what God put together, let no man put asunder. And finally, homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. As the homosexual confesses his or her sin and repents, will receive forgiveness, as Paul told the church in Corinth, as some of you were like that, but now you've been washed and justified and sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, whatever your sin be, come to the Lord Jesus. He will forgive you, but one more thing, he'll give you the power that you don't have to live a different lifestyle. May the Lord bring you to Him today and now.